Well, I'm turning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, which is in a order of study, and I'm going to read through the chapter. Let me read from verse 28 of the previous chapter. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come in power, or till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. That's the two phrases, one in Mark's Gospel, one in this one. And after 6 days, obviously connecting the two, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them up a high mountain apart, and was transformed before them, physically. His face did shine as the sun, and his clothing was white as the light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you will, let us make here 3 tents for you. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus alone. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. His disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah has already come. And they knew him not, but they have done to him whatever they wanted to. Referring, of course, to John the Baptist. John said, I am not Elijah. Jesus said he was. What does it mean? It means, according to this word, that is, that Elijah has already come. What it means is that John Baptist was not Elijah, but was as Elijah. All right? He was not Elijah reincarnate. He was as Elijah. Just for example, we could say we need another John Wesley. Or we could say, oh, that man's a Billy Graham. Yeah. Or, you know, that kind of thing. Well, Elijah had come. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. All right. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man who fell on his knees to him and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic, moonstruck or whatever, he's lunatic, and he's sore vexed, and often he falls into the fire, oft into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. We would interpret and add, they tried. It isn't clear, but they tried, but they couldn't. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? Obviously they tried, it seems. Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. Straight answer. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith, as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nevertheless, this kind, because it goes not out but by prayer and fasting. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed to the hands of men. They shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry that he should be raised from the dead. I don't know. Again, they only heard the first bit. Of course, that was sad enough, the whole combination. But the end result was not. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doesn't your master pay the 2 drachmas? Which is the temple tax. Doesn't he pay the 2 drachmas? That's what the word is, 2 drachmas. And Peter said, yes. Yes, he does. But he hadn't got any money, so he didn't pay. Yes, he does. When he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what do you think, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, of strangers. Jesus said unto him, then the children are free. Children of God are the children of the great king of all the earth. Well, they're free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that first comes up. And when you've opened his mouth, you shall find a stater. It's a coin worth 4 drachmas. That take and give them unto them, give unto them for me and thee. All right. The coin was worth 2 drachmas. The tax was 2. And it was just enough for them both. All right. What a provision of the Lord. So what do you learn from that? Well, when you buy fish, it's best to buy fresh fish and open the mouth first. Is that what you learned from it? Well, not really. How wonderful that God should do that. How did it get there? Well, the whole story is not told. But anyway, we're not going to comment on that one particularly, just the wonder of God's provision. So we're going to look at the 2 events. There are 2 events in this chapter. The first one is Jesus standing in or on the threshold of heaven. Now, it's possible to see that he lived there. But Jesus Christ at this point goes and stands in the threshold of heaven. He stood there as a perfect man. As we've said before, this is his perfection. This is the perfection of his manhood. This is the point, the highest point of his life. He had reached utter perfection. I suppose we talk about this so little because we understand and relate to it so little. But he had reached the absolute perfection of his manhood. He was a perfect man. And he had the right to go there as a sinless man, a man who had never asked anybody any forgiveness, even though he taught all of them to be humble and to ask forgiveness. He himself never asked for it. He was a sinless man, and I challenge you to find any fault in his life, as it's written on the pages of this book. And I don't just mean faults as men regard faults, comparing him with human beings. I'm talking about the utter purity and sublimity of his thoughts and actions and lifestyle. It's wonderful. But here he is, he's standing on the threshold of heaven. And he has the right to now step through that open door. He's talking with Moses and Elijah. It's a strange thing, this. He's now passed through. He's able to return out of this world without dying. That is the truth of Jesus Christ. He did not have to die. He's standing there. His body is transformed. As Moses and Elijah also before him. Unique, those 2 men in their death and in their way But they one had died by faith. Moses had died by faith. Elijah hadn't died. Jesus experienced both of those things. He died by faith on the cross, and then afterwards he was taken up into heaven on a cloud, just like Elijah. But anyway, that's the some of the detail of it. But anyway, he's here standing on the threshold of heaven, and his body is transformed. And let's see that for a moment, because we can always go on now and talk about the spiritual meaning of it, and we're going to, but realize that when we die, this is part of it, we will go to be with the Lord. If he came back today, those who have died before us will be raised up first and be given a new body. Then those who remain will rise up and meet him in the air. And they will be given a new body. That's us. We'll be given a new body. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the obvious meaning. Never miss the obvious meaning of Scripture. Don't always go to the spiritual. Go to the obvious. There's a heaven. Heaven is a reality. You don't see it in the sense that you can't describe it. You can't say where it is. It's another dimension. If you like, the world in which we live in has another dimension. It has the dimension of spirit, and heaven is a spirit place. I can't explain it any more than that because I don't know. It has physical side to it, but not a physical side as we understand it. It's totally different. I haven't given a lot of thought to that physical side of it, but all I know is that one day I'll have a new body. And in that new body I won't grow old, and I won't grow tired, and I won't have to eat a lot. In fact, I don't think I have to eat at all. I think that, like Moses on the mountain, this is again a picture of it, like Moses on the mountain, I don't think in that day, I don't think Moses ate, well, he didn't eat, he didn't drink, and I don't think he slept, and I don't think he breathed. That's my own interpretation of it. Because if you don't drink, you die. But I believed he came to a point where he just was with God. And I believe that's what heaven is. It's not that you don't eat, it's just that or drink or breathe, it's that it's not physical, it's God himself is your food and your breath and your drink. Yes, yes. And you have everlasting strength, your youth is renewed. There's another world. This world is growing old because of sin. The decay of the mind. You know, there's something in the human heart that knows there's an eternal world. You know, if I were preaching or talking about things that you could not, that was strange, or, you know, something like if I said, well, a spaceship came down and dropped some instructions down in Latin America 3,000 years ago, and it was written on a tablet, and then you wouldn't be able to relate to those kinds of things. But I'm telling you truth that in your heart you instinctively already know is real and true. You know there's a heaven.
Yes.
Now you only fully know it when you've come into contact with the one who is ruler over that place. That's Jesus Christ. But there are moments in different people's lives and in the lives of this world when heaven does touch the earth in a physical way. There was a revival on the island of Barvas in the Outer Hebrides. Jill will tell us more about it. But you know that on that island, the people saw the glow over the island. Isn't that right? They saw the glow. The ships passing, they looked over it and they said, there's a glow over the island.
Wonderful.
Alan Turnbull told me once about a tribe, and there was a revival there, and the people saw a glow over the village. Willie Burton, a missionary to Africa, once went to a tribe and he had some difficulty with the chief, and they came to kill him in the night. And years later, he They didn't kill. They waited up all night waiting for them to kill. Actually, they slept, I think. They just slept like babies that night, waiting because they were going to come and kill them. And years later, when the Lord had moved in that tribe, they said, "Who were those four men standing round your, house? There were four shining. We came to kill you, and there were four shining men standing round your house." All right. Now, stories abound. You won't find them in the popular press. You won't. You have to, if you want to know, there's anything in you is responding to God and you've not yet come to faith and given your life to Christ, and you're thinking and you're struggling and you're wondering and lots of questions, you come to see me afterwards. I will supply you with material to read that will open your eyes to another dimension. And I tell you, that's what I'm here for this morning. It's for anybody who has not yet come to faith. That's what I'm here for this morning. One of the reasons. The prime reason I'm here is for God. But you understand, I'm here for you, so you come and ask me. Alan Turnbull himself fell into a river, or was in a river, and was swept aside. He had a rucksack on his pack. I can't tell you all the details now, there's not time. He was sinking, the rucksack was pressing him under the water, and a hand grabbed him by the belt and lifted him bodily out of the water.
Wow.
And set him on the bank of the river. And Alan Turnbull is not a man that you would say would invent stories like that. He's a down-to-earth northerner. I don't know if he's a Geordie exactly. Would you call him? Where's Jimmy?
Yeah.
Is he a Geordie?
No, he's not quite.
I mean, the Geordies are a special tribe, aren't they? There's a very narrow belt of the country that's Geordie. They're very fiercely proud of it. And there's many that would be, but aren't. There's only a few that are. If you want to apply for a passport, see Jimmy afterwards. Somebody said, the world is made up of two kinds of people, British and them that wish they were. Sorry about that. Anyway... How do we get onto these things? I have to blame somebody, but I can't think of who yet. Anyway. But you see, it's this. You see, heaven does touch earth. It does.
Hallelujah.
And it says here, in verse 28, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Or that shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power.
Hallelujah.
Now that means that some of those men were going to see the kingdom come. And they did. On the day of Pentecost. It came. And the reality of the day of Pentecost was simply this: that Christ came to live in their hearts. Christ came to live in their hearts. Now, that is the foundational doctrine of many, many, many groups. But the point is that it is in many groups the doctrine, but not in all groups the reality. You understand? I'm not talking about groups, I'm talking about individuals. The truth is that there is nothing more powerful that can happen to a person than to receive Jesus Christ into your heart.
Mm.
People speak of the power of the Spirit. I want to tell you, there is nothing more powerful in the whole universe than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Bible speaks of Him being the power of God. He is the power of God. And all that God wants you to do is to receive Him. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the right, to become the sons of God. That is, if you like, when he stood there, if you like, framed against the light. Actually, he was the light. I know the sun was shining from him. But in the terms of which we stood, he was there standing in the doorway of eternity. A perfect man. He's still the same today. What you see is Christ in the doorway. And you realize that Christ is the door. You don't have to see angels. You probably will not. You probably will not see a glow on a building. You probably will not experience the Spirit of God trembling a building, as happened to some of our friends who were in Bradford 40 years ago. They prayed and the building shook. You remember where they were praying 40 years ago? It happened only once in Scripture. But it happened. May not happen to you. You may not be healed. We could supply you with evidence of healing. Heaven's great kingdom will touch this world. But it's through this one, Jesus Christ. Through this one. And that's why you have to bring this great vision down to its message, because there's the great vision. There he is standing there, his face like the sun. And Jesus Christ outshines the sun. He outshines the sun. And his clothing, he is there radiant. Christ is the radiant one. What radiates and pulsates from his life like a stream is love. And that stream will wash over you if you'll just open your heart to it. You know, one of the things you must not do is you must not close your heart to Christ. He comes and he makes himself known. It's a stirring in your conscience. It's a stirring in your heart. It's a stirring. And when that happens, let me tell you, your hour to know him has come.
Yes.
It's your hour.
Hallelujah.
It's as if it's your birthday. You know, when we have a birthday, we had a birthday party yesterday, my daughter. It was her day. It was her day. She got cards and she got a cake with a name on it. All right. I'm not saying that God's going to give you a cake and a card or anything, but the thing is, it's your day.
Yes.
Jesus Christ comes to you and says, I want to come to your house today.
Yes, lovely.
I want to eat at your house. I want to dwell with you. I want to be in your house. Mm. And that's the thing. Here he is. He comes and he's there. They're, the men around him are puzzled. They can't work it out. They can't relate to it. It's beyond them. That's why in one sense you realize that God veils himself in his approach to you. God veils himself in his approach to you. He does it not stage by stage in one sense, although it is stage by stage. God reveals himself in the measure in which you can bear it. Do not close your heart to what God is opening to you today. Open to him this day. And here, while they were yet speaking, They disturbed the vision by what they said, by the way. They blurted out a few things and it didn't seem to really fit in, but they felt they ought to say something. Sometimes it's just good to be quiet. But anyway, they said something, and bless them for their attempts. I'm sure the Lord didn't condemn them. But anyway, then the Lord, the Father came, a cloud overshadowed them, a voice out of the cloud. And this is what God said to them. And this is God's message to the world. It's the great revelation. What's the great revelation? You know, you could think, great revelations, mighty high. This is God's revelation. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Listen to him. That's God's message. That's the revelation. Don't miss the obvious again. God's great revelation. Now, are you obeying God's revelation? This man is my son. He was more than a man. He became a man. He was God. This is my son. Listen to him. Now you could put another word there. Concentrate on him. Pay attention to him.
Yes.
I don't mean concentrate on him. I've got to concentrate. But don't be, we're doing five things at once. Give time. Give time to listen to Jesus Christ. You know, the most powerful, one of the most powerful moves of God in our nation was the Quakers. And do you know what they kept on saying to everybody? Listen to Christ speaking to your heart. Listen to Christ speaking to you. They said it to unbelievers. And those who were touched by God stopped what they were doing and began to listen. And God spoke to them. It's the wonder of it. You see, the wonder of new birth and eternal life is that what's happening is you are being brought to the person of Jesus Christ. This is new birth. This is eternal life. New birth. You see, again, people get, you must be converted. People don't like that word. Conversion is a sudden thing. It can't be done any other way. New birth, I don't care how, what phrases we use. But the point is that Jesus Christ did not stand up and say, come to new birth. He did not stand up and say, come to heaven. Jesus Christ stood up and said, come to me. Come to me. You can never go round him and get to heaven. You can never go round him and get to conversion or new birth. It's this wonderful, it's wonderfully simple. Come to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. It's the urge, the come. And there it is. Listen to him. They fell on their face and were sore afraid. There they were again. This fact that they couldn't cope with it. Now, how were they going to cope with him when he came inside? Oh, well, that was different, you see. Because then he's going to change their nature. You know, one of the things I remember, I'll never forget the day I was born again. I'm not saying that everybody must know the very moment, but everybody must know that it's taken place. The Bible makes it very plain that not everybody knows the moment, but everybody who has had received the Holy Spirit knows that they have received the Holy Spirit. They know that Christ has come to live in them.
Glory to God.
When I received the Holy Spirit and Christ came to live in me, I was conscious of two things. Of being clean and of him. You want to be clean. It's when he's there that you're clean. You realize purity is never separable from Christ. You cannot be clean apart from Christ within you. All right, well, just for a few minutes, let's just read this second account. And I'm going to turn you over now to Luke's Gospel and read the account again in Luke's Gospel. Then I'm going to turn you to Mark and read it in Mark. Mark, Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. He'd come up the mountain, you see. This is the thing. Jesus up a mountain, just like Moses up there. But this is greater than Moses. His face was shining, but with a totally different, much greater. Here, what Moses put a veil to hide the shining. I think Jesus' shining would have burnt up the veil. But anyway, here we go. Chapter 9, verse 37. Luke's Gospel, verse 37, chapter 9. It came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. Behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he's my only child. He's my only one. Lower spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it tears him that he foams again, and bruising him hardly departs from him. I want you to notice the activity of evil spirits. Tears him. takes him, bruises him. Awful, isn't it? And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, they could not. Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, shall I be with you and suffer? How long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tore him. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. It's beautiful, isn't it? Let's turn to Mark chapter 9. It'll be the same event again. Verse 14, he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. So it was a controversy. And straightway, all the people, when they saw him or beheld him, were greatly amazed. Something about him struck them all. And running to him, greeted Jesus. And he asked the scribes, what question you with them? Big argument going on. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought to thee my son, who has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him. He foams and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. It's almost as if you've gone from one kingdom of glory right down to another pit of hell.
Yes.
One is covered in darkness. Can you see it? Pining away. Thoughts tearing themselves apart. You can see the activity of devils in a physical way as they took this boy, or you can see it in a spiritual way, bruising your mind, causing festering to take place, causing damage to take place, causing wounding. This is what they were doing, throwing you in water and in fire. You know, some people get thrown into activities they shouldn't do. They don't know how they got into it. Praise God, I never took a drug. I praise God, it never occurred to me. It was never presented to me. And I thank God I didn't. Praise God, I didn't get involved in sexual sin. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful. But the thing is, this is a pit of darkness. Can't you see? There he is standing in that glorious light in the doorway of heaven. And now he's right down. He's brought the doorway right down.
Yes.
The doorway is not different. It was not different down there in the valley. He didn't say, well, I've got to take you up the mountain and see the glory of the vision. That was just for a moment. No one's seen it since. You understand me in that? I know that John saw something. He saw the same thing, really. He was here as well. But you understand, no one could ever say, well, I've seen that, I've spoken. I've never heard anybody talk about speaking with Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop. But this is him. He's coming now. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation. Faithless generation. A generation without sight. A generation that will not listen. If I called you a person without faith, I could as easily call you a person who will not listen. Now, you may not have had realized that before this day, but from this day on, you have to listen to God. You read his word, and you don't read it as fast as you can to get through a portion. You read it, and you listen to God with your heart as you read. In other words, there are two great disciplines in this life. One is to read his word. One is to pray, if you like. But the great thing is to listen to God. Faith comes by listening. I'm changing the word. If you listen, what I mean is take heed. He said, concentrate on my son. You don't have to have powers of concentration to go into all the details. Listen to what God has said. And then it goes on, O faithless generation. O Generation with your ears stopped, with stubborn hearts, closed up minds, haven't heard. You know that he had given power to cast out all demons to this very group of men. You can read that in Luke's Gospel. Which chapter? The same chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. All demons, it says there in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. And here they are, they couldn't do it. They would not listen to what God had done in them, if you can take it that way.
Yes.
You realize that sometimes we want God to do something extra. Will you apply your heart to what God has already done and said?
Amen, amen.
You might find that you've got a grain of mustard seed in your heart. Anyway, excuse me, let's read on. Bring him to me. When they brought him unto him, when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming, wallowing in the mire of his own wicked thoughts. But they weren't his own, really. They were inspired and they were added to. Wallowing, foaming. How the devil loves to make people base. He'll make you as base as the worms that burrow in the ground. God will lift you out. All right. And he asked his father, Jesus turned as the son, that boy was wallowing on the ground. Jesus turned to his father and said, I don't know if he spoke with urgency this time or with speed or what, because his father, this man was obviously going spare. He didn't know what to do, this father. He was there and he said, he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came to him? And the man said, of a child. It's been like it since he was a child. This came unto him. He was a child. How we need covering. How we need protection. I was sitting here this morning thinking, I'm so glad this place exists. I'm so glad that we're here under a covering. What's the covering? It's our brother and his faithfulness to the Lord, his love. It's God in him and through him. Tony and Mary have stood and been a covering. You understand? Others have been added to share it. But you understand? They're not the covering, though. Ultimately, it's God in them. Subjection to God produces a covering. Subjection of a woman to a husband makes the covering work in her. Making sure that our children are subject brings them under the covering. Did this come to this child because he didn't discipline it? He let it grow wild? I don't know. Did it come because the man himself wasn't right? I don't know. It doesn't say. We can't speculate. But there is a covering and I praise God for it. Let's go on. Oftentimes it has cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Help us. Paul saw a vision of a man over in Macedonia. Come over and help us. What are you planning to do with your life? You might plan for a career or whatever it is, but get this in your heart. You're going to help somebody. You'll earn your money some way. Here's the cry. Come and help us. Is it just that we wouldn't mind a bit of help over here? Could you come and help us? We need help. Help us. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child out and cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. The man was, where was he? You can hear it in his voice. I don't need to explain it. But his heart was wrapped around this, his son. with tears. Again, you got the answers. The question, we've mentioned this a number of times, we've gone through Matthew's Gospel. One of the keys to answered prayer, you can find it again and again, I can't get away from it, is that the people who got answers to prayer were parents.
Hallelujah.
Father prayed for his son.
Hallelujah.
Brought him to Jesus. A mother brings her daughter.
Hallelujah.
Jairus brings his daughter. It wasn't the neighbours, it was the father. And I bring you back to this again. The secret of prayer is adoption. Get before God and adopt people. And don't hope somebody else will adopt them. You must never live on that basis. You love them. It is a father's heart to pray. A casual prayer, yeah, they've got little prayers here, and of course they work. I'm not saying that they're a prayer here, but in the end, it's a heart that's, he said, with tears. Well, what, oh, it was emotional, man. No, some people are emotional. Doesn't care. You may not be an emotional man, but when your child is sick, there's something that goes beyond your natural humanity. There's something that goes beyond it. Don't close your heart to him. How is he coming to you? Let's just finish this. He said, he said with tears, I've got Matthew, but let me, Luke, isn't it? Mark, chapter 9, verse 25 now, isn't it? Said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, and saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. When he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? Well, we've already said it, haven't we? Unbelief. Go back to chapter 17 and we'll finish there. We've got to finish now. Verse 20 says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, where does the grain of mustard seed come into this? Is it because it's a very small thing? No, it's because it is not a grain of dust, or it is not a pound of earth. It's not 20 kilos of sand, all of which are useless. It isn't a package on faith. It isn't a library of books on faith. It's a living seed which has life in it. Seed contains life. Oh, you've got to come from him. If you've got something in you that's got life in it, doesn't matter how big it is, it'll grow. And then it goes on, and I love this verse, and it's the verse that you must let God, this is what the union of heaven kissing earth. This is it, verse 20. If because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain,